Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we got a short stack of waffles for you. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. And my next door neighbor decided to have company right at that moment.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not too bad.
Cool.
I want to say I jinxed myself last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what the story is, but go ahead.
Yeah, for the people that listened to the post-show rambling about my problems with the wireless printer, and I had declared that, you know, getting the wireless printer to work is easier than getting the 3D printer to work. Now I'm having 3D printer issues.
Yeah.
The nozzle got jammed beyond all recognition, and I had to replace the print head. Which was fine. It went well. We had a spare on hand. But then it happened again, the exact same thing with a brand new print head. So the hot end. I'm thinking it's either a few different things now. Either there's a problem with the stepper motor and it's not feeding the filament properly, or there's something wrong with the hot end not heating properly, which doesn't seem to be the case because all the temperature readouts look good. Or it's this particular filament we're using because it's a new type that we've not used before. Just a different brand, but you know, it got good reviews and everything. So I don't know, but I'm waiting on some very small tools to arrive.
Well, it's no fun to have trouble with your hot end.
No, not at all.
Cool. So we have a couple of fun news stories for you this week that we can talk about. But first, I want a These New Worlds update.
Okay. Yeah, you'll get your update. You want your update? You'll get your update. That didn't come out like I meant for it to.
It's your hot end problem.
Yeah. It's the problematic hot end. Ooh, it burns.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We did an initial playthrough of it, just Richard and I, last weekend. And there are things that need work. Some of them need more work than others, but it wasn't terrible and it wasn't unfun. So
cool.
It kind of went better than I expected for it to. Some stuff really needs balanced better. But I went through and I gave the rules or revisions and pretty much rewrote a couple of things and then I showed it to you and you're like, I don't care about the mechanics. And I went, well, I can't say on this podcast what the initial reaction in my head was because I couldn't understand not caring about the mechanics, because that's something that I consider heavily when I'm going to purchase a game. But then I realized that, wait, you don't have the gaming experience I do. Theme is all you have to base your decision to play on.
Right. Yeah. And I just care about cup holders, not the engine.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's not that I haven't had a theme. I just didn't put a lot of time into developing it because I just don't want to get the mechanics squared away. Mm-hmm. But after hearing that from you, I decided that I would spend a little time on it. So that's what I did yesterday evening. And I really like where I ended up. And I think that it's actually going to help the design process, because now I know, I don't think it's going to change the mechanics of the game much, if any, but now I know sort of the motivations and reasons behind them, and I can make sure that when I'm fine-tuning things that it all kind of reinforces that story.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
I love it. It sets up this great tension that it makes you want to win.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, okay, now that's all of a sudden we got a game on our hands, and it's like, you know, not unfun is a good milestone.
Yeah. It was more than I had hoped for in the first attempt at it. So
cool. I love it. It's so cool. And Kelly has been blogging about it. So dear listener, you can go to blog.kellyshaver.com. What's the special link? You have like a
it's /tag/these new worlds, but the easiest way to get to it is just go to thesenewworlds.com and click the link for the developer blog.
Boom. Love it. Cool beans. Well, speaking of new worlds, guess what? There's a liquid lake on Mars.
Yeah, supposedly. I don't know that it's been entirely confirmed yet, but yes, NASA thinks they have found water, liquid water on Mars.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people are fishing in it yet.
No, I don't think so.
Picturing little boats, but I did see a headline later in the day that said that it was confirmed, but I think it was just a clickbait version of the same article. But yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of clickbaity titles coming out when that was announced. So.
Right. Yeah. You know, and if I understand it correctly, it's essentially sort of a sonar type of thing that has detected it beneath the surface of, like, their polar ice cap or something. No, it wouldn't be an ice cap, would it?
Well, yeah. No, there's frozen water on Mars.
Oh, okay. But they're saying liquid water now.
Yeah. So at the South Pole.
Nice. All right. Maybe we'll find a Martian Santa.
Yeah, it's curious. I'd be curious to know, is there anything living in that water?
Yeah, no kidding. And my brain just went straight to, like, protomolecule. it's like, boom. It was immediately like, I hope not. but that would be, I don't know if I hope so, actually.
Yeah, I honestly don't know.
It would be amazing. That would be totally amazing and super cool. And kind of makes me nervous too, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think the odds of finding anything remotely intelligent anywhere are just very slim to none, because I think if they were that intelligent, they might have found us by now.
Right.
But certainly I think there's the potential for bacterial life and maybe some other, you know, lower order sort of organisms and what have you.
Sure.
It would be really cool to find them on Mars that close to home.
Yeah, it would be nuts. The thing that would scare me is, like, you know, what could possibly go wrong? Let's bring this back to Earth and study it.
Yeah, it would certainly ramp up desire and efforts to get a manned mission to Mars.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, that would be, you know, who knows? Cure cancer, it's like anything could happen, seems like. I mean, we're still dealing with the same basic elements in the galaxy, but I imagine, like, is it possible that there are other elements on Mars? I suppose it's possible. That'd be crazy. I mean, I know we're talking about life forms, but it just occurred to me that, yeah, I don't know.
Somehow I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it too. It seems like it would be pretty evenly distributed.
Yeah, well, let me rephrase that. I doubt there's anything on Mars element-wise that doesn't exist also somewhere on Earth, or isn't capable of existing somewhere on Earth.
Right.
Whether or not we've discovered it here versus the ease of discovering it on Mars is a different story.
Oh, good point. Yeah, great point. Yeah. Cool. All right, let's do that.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
Right.
I'm working on these ships.
If I could just get your hot nozzle fixed.
Yeah, if I could just get my hot end working like it should be.
Yeah.
Melt right through that ice.
Can't even get our printers working, but we're flying to Mars.
Maybe we shouldn't be leading this mission.
Right. Well, fortunately, we aren't, meaning you and me.
Yes.
Well, that's a perfect segue into...
Is it? Is it really?
Well, yeah, because if people are going to go to Mars, it's probably going to be a big news story. There's probably going to be all sorts of interest in that. I'm sure lots of press, the entire world would be watching, the global population. Mm-hmm. And hey, if there's a Nike logo on that spacesuit, or perhaps a Tommy Hilfiger logo on the spacesuit, that's probably going to be worth, yeah.
Yeah, you want to look your best.
Yeah. I mean, the watch that astronauts wore on the first moon mission, I think it was the first moon mission, the Omega Speedmaster, is a very expensive watch now because it's the moon watch.
Right, yeah.
So your Tommy Hilfiger hoodie, if you wear that to Mars, but how would people actually know?
You know, I don't know. Mars? Like, the company would have to put, like, some kind of chip in it that they could maybe track when and where you wear it.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Wait, I think they have that.
Yeah, I think they do now.
Literally the worst segue.
It is.
Sorry, we tried. We tried, dear listener.
Yeah. It was, the attempt was fun.
Yeah.
Tommy Hilfiger announced a new line of products called their Explore line. That's Explore. which is embedded with a chip that pairs with your phone. It's not entirely out of your control. It does pair with your phone, and it tracks basically when you're wearing their product and whatever other data they can gather that they may or may not tell you about and want to send. their intention is to use it basically a glorified loyalty program that, oh, you wear our products a lot, we're going to going to give you discounts on additional, you know, on future purchases, or, hey, here's some concert tickets and that kind of thing. And just this idea is a little crazy to me. You know, I've read a couple of articles saying, oh, this is ridiculous. It's a glorified brand loyalty program that you're paying a premium to be a part of. And like, well, first of all, that's pretty much any brand loyalty program.
No kidding.
And secondly, their prices on this line of clothing range from $30 to $100. And while $30 is more than I would pay for a t-shirt, that's not out of line for the Tommy Hilfiger brand. I mean, I was looking on their website and they have $80 polo shirts. So,
Yeah.
In that context, you're not paying a premium. It's right in line with their normal pricing. So I could see people being like, well, yeah, there are brands that I would do this with. I don't know that there are clothing brands.
Yeah, that's the interesting angle. I mean, what was the name of the, I think Latitude was the name of the Android app years ago. This is probably, this might've been before Cooper was born or around then. So we're talking like 7, 8, 9 years ago. There's this, when Foursquare and what was the other one? Foursquare and there was another like sort of check-in application that, you know, you could sort of check in and see who of your friends also checked in there, and you could get recommendations for like, oh, you know, I checked in at this bakery and oh, look, my three friends checked in here and look, here are their recommendations, and sort of get this contextual kind of asynchronous social experience. And, but it was proactive. You had to, you know, pull out the phone, open up the app, press the check-in button. But right. Google had one. They were like, oh, that's too much work. We're just going to have one that's constantly checking you in everywhere. You know, you grant it permission to do so, and Latitude would just literally distract you on a map. And
And I think some of that's still in Google Maps, because I'll go places today and I'll get a pop-up says, hey, want to review this place?
Agreed, yeah. That's been coming on strong in the last... Well, actually, I was going to say that they've really been doing that a lot in the last 2 weeks, but that's probably about how much time I've had my new Android phone. So I don't know how long it's been happening, but I've been noticing that quite a bit where it's...
Yeah, I started noticing it last summer on vacation.
Yeah, so I've just been on the iOS bandwagon for that period of time. But it doesn't creep me out. I'm like, it says, hey, we need a human's help with this. You know, do they have wheelchair ramps at this coffee shop and stuff like that? And I don't know. It makes you feel kind of helpful in a way. I know that's what they're going for, and it's really, they don't care about me. But
and I don't find it intrusive or bothersome, really. And if you do, you just turn it off.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, actually come to think of it, I tend to engage with it when it's about a small business that I like. So I feel like, oh, if I make their profile better or make it more detailed, that'll be good for them. So I feel like I'm kind of doing them a favor.
Yeah. It's either going to be a small business that I like or a big business that I hate.
Yeah. So the angle here though is that, I mean, so your phone's been doing this for, you know, almost since they came out, smartphones. Mm-hmm. So 2008, let's say. And the wild thing here is the smart clothes angle, where, okay, now I'm going to put on this shirt, and the shirt's getting tracked. Yeah. So the proximity of the shirt to a particular person's phone is kind of like, okay, it must be Jeff wearing the shirt. And Jeff went to the Foo Fighters or whatever. So that gives, you know, it's obvious, you know, instead of the location information going to Google, they've come up with like an arrangement where it goes to the brand. Tommy Hilfiger figured out a way to say, hey, and I'm not surprised the prices are in line with their dumb clothes, because they're going to get all sorts of, you know, the same stuff you get out of loyalty information for, you know, like all my Amex, they know everything about you, like pretty much everything. You know, like what are you worried about Google tracking you? Look at what your credit card companies and your mobile carrier know about you.
Yeah, exactly. They know every purchase I've made.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, when was the last time I used cash?
Right.
You know, once a year, maybe twice a year. So everything else is tracked in some database somewhere that some gigantic corporation has access to. So, hey, who cares if Tommy Hilfiger knows that I went to the Foo Fighters?
Right. You're probably going to get there and post about it all over social media anyway.
True. Yeah. but you're just like directly sending them the information. And then they're like, yeah. And our gigantic, ugly logo was emblazoned all over your.
Yeah. So here, get 3 cents off your next purchase.
Yeah. Historically, I've always been just personally, I've never opted into, I shouldn't say never. I probably have, but I generally always opt out of loyalty programs because I don't like considering the influence. You know what I mean? Like, even if I'm going to save money, they're like, well, but $2 off if you, yeah, I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to be thinking about that.
Right.
It's not worth the $2 to me.
Yeah. I'm the same way, with the exception of like the reward points card at the grocery store or maybe like the gas station you frequent, because those do add up to be quite a bit of money over time. But if it's just like, you know, going to GameStop or going to some hardware store or that kind of thing.
Yeah, like Dick's Sporting Goods or Panera,
right.
Like places where I go maybe 3 times a year. I just don't want the email. I don't want the, oh, look, 20% off if you spend $5,000. And it's like, I don't even want to know about it. So.
Right. It's like the other day, like someone came up trying to push a loyalty card with the store. And it's like, would you like to save $25? And I said, no. She was just like, what? Well, I've always heard that if you love something, you should let it free. And I love money. She didn't know what to think of that.
You actually said that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, man. So I'm imagining you're not a big Tommy Hilfiger fan. Like, what brand would you consider doing this for, if any?
Maybe Timbuktu.
The bags.
The bags, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd probably do it. This makes 100 times more sense to me built into sneakers.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So
yeah,
like
sneakers, I would do.
Yeah, I would do this with Nike sneakers. I have a pair of Nikes that I like. I wear to the gym, and I think they already have this. I think there was some sort of weird Nike Plus plug-in thing that happened on iOS several years ago, but it should just be built into the shoe. Like, that would be amazing if it was built into the shoes, because especially runners, they're like,
yeah,
talk about people who love behavioral analytics and tracking their workouts and all that stuff.
Oh, like, yeah, really. Runners and cycling clothes. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes more sense to me than like fashion apparel or whatever you call this, casual apparel.
Yeah, like Richard broke his foot a while back. And ever since then, he's worn these like super expensive running shoes, because the only thing that doesn't cause his feet to hurt after he's walking for a day. And, you know, like, I could see a brand like that having something in it. Of course, they would look at Richard and they'd be like, why are you paying $200 for our running shoes and not running? But, you know.
Yeah, because they feel good.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so you know how else you can get from one place to another?
Without running.
Without, yeah. Without running?
Without running.
Uh-huh. Here it comes. Mm-hmm. Can you feel it?
I can feel it, yeah.
Another way is to drive.
Mm.
That's another way to get around.
Yeah. Are you doing that driving yourself, or is there some AI that's doing it for you?
Well, a lot of people do drive themselves, but some people, I don't know if you know this, but some people don't have cars.
So no, they don't.
If you don't have a car, how would you get to Walmart?
Yeah, or if you don't have a functioning eyeball.
That too, yeah.
Well, I get there by telling other people to drive me there, but I'm betting there's a better solution.
Well, guess what? Walmart is coming to your rescue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
They're creating their own self-driving cars that only go to Walmart. which, as soon as and to be fair, I did not read this whole article. It's just a headline, okay. So this is my hot take. But okay. It makes perfect sense. Think about it. I have never once considered that a self-driving car would have a blacklist or a whitelist of destinations. But it makes total sense.
Yeah, like the Walmart car won't take you to Target.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it'll pick you up, it'll go to Target, and then it'll take you back where you came from. I didn't read the article, but it makes perfect sense. And it also creates an economic model for big companies, like a big retailers, to invest in the technology and buy a fleet of self-driving cars that only go where they want them to.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's like
it seems really inefficient. In that you could have a fleet of self-driving cars, one fleet of self-driving cars in a city that went anywhere, as opposed to a dozen different fleets of self-driving cars. But I guess they would need to be, I guess they could be smaller.
That's true. Yeah. No, I see what you mean.
And it spreads out the cost, so it's not all in one company.
Right. Right. So, yeah, I mean, there's the question of, like, would it be, I mean, certainly it'll be some, I mean, Walmart's not going to, I would be shocked if they were mm-hmm. actually not white labeling somebody else's technology. I mean, they must be doing that. But if they weren't, wow. But man, I was like, it's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when people talk about the balkanization of the web and, you know, like the Great Firewall of China and like certain websites mm-hmm. that you can't go to. It reminded me of that, but in the physical world.
In the physical world, yeah. Yeah. Now, what I want to know, my local Walmart is only about 2 miles away, but it's 2 miles down windy, narrow roads driven way too fast with no sidewalks and no shoulders. So it's completely unsafe to try and walk there.
Uphill both ways, too.
Yeah, naturally. What I want to know is, since it's such a short distance, could I maybe get a self-driving hoverboard or something instead? That'd be so much cooler.
Yeah. I mean, what? It just occurred to me, like, there's got to be a self-driving Segway. I mean, somebody's got to be working on that.
Oh, it does. That would get us between topics so much better than this.
Oh! Self-driving Segway. Nice.
If ever there was a need for one, it's right here, right now.
That is for sure. Expensive problem right there. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's good. Well, speaking of scooters, okay, this is just a personal anecdote.
Okay.
The other night we were, I was at work and Erica was like, oh, I'm going to go pick up the kids from grandma's house. Do you want to come with me? So I was like, sure, swing by the office. So she picked me up and we went out and got the kids and came back, but forgot to pick up my car on the way back. So my house is like a mile, less than a mile, about 3/4 of a mile from my office. Mm-hmm. So at like 10:30 at night, I was like, oh man, I left the car at the office and it's supposed to rain and the sunroof's open because it was really hot mm-hmm. during the day. So mm-hmm. I had to go get it. And she's like, well, we could put the kids in the car and I'll drive down and drop you off. And I was like, no, I'll just walk. And then on the way out the door, I walked past Cooper's little Razor scooter. And I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, boy, come to papa. So yeah, I Razor scooter.
It's 10:30 at night and no one's going to laugh at you.
Right, exactly. And I scooted my way down to the office and I was like, oh man, that was so much fun. And came home. It's too small for me though. So I was hunched over.
Yeah.
Nervous wreck the whole time that the wheels are just going to fly off in every direction. And I go flying into the street, smash my nose on the curb. But, I came home and immediately ordered like a adult size Razor scooter. I was like,
oh, nice.
I haven't had that much fun and I don't know when.
I'll have to get the link for me to the adult size Razor scooter.
It's super cool. It was very fun. Speaking of Cooper, mm-hmm. as we come to the end of the of these terrible segues, I mentioned last week that, you know, we were talking about the kids doing stuff. I think it was last week.
I think it was.
Talking about the kids doing stuff. And sure enough, just coincidentally, in the last couple of days, he discovered that you could, you know, say, she who shall not be named's name and say, play podcast. So he's been listening mm-hmm. to some science podcast and he's like, don't you have a podcast? And I was like, yeah. And then as soon as we said that, he's like, oh yeah, I remember the name. And so he said, she who shall not be named, play Terrifying Robot Dog Podcast. Uh-huh. And it comes on and it was the Kissy Teenage Stuff episode.
Yeah.
And that must have been the one where he mentioned it. And he was like, yeah, I want to do that. I want to make the music. So dear listener, this week you'll be treated to outro music composed by an 8-year-old.
Nice. I have not heard this, so.
It's a little more, let's say, muscular than what you might be used to from Terrifying Robot Dog. It's more of a first-person shooter video game kind of thing, so brace yourself, folks.
Nice.
But it's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, I love it, actually. But it was funny, too. He's like, what does the music usually sound like? And so I played it to him and he's like, oh, I get it. And he starts doing a dance to it. He goes, it needs to be like this. And I was like, yeah, it needs to be just like that. And so this is his just like that.
His interpretation of just like that.
Exactly. Yes. In terms of how you would dance to it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Fun. I look forward to hearing it.
Cool. Well, it won't be long now.
Next week.
Yes, we do have housekeeping to close with. No, next week.
I will be gaming my face off at Gen Con.
Nice. What did you finally, did you, you went back and forth so many times in the costume. I don't know what you landed
on.
Yeah, I did.
I had originally was going to do something Ready Player One, and I like the idea, and I like the costume, and I love the backpack that I made for it. but I decided that instead that I was going to go Expanse.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've got my pure and clean jumpsuit and my decked out OPA backpack.
Yes, the split circle logo.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Oh. You should connect that to your phone and get loyalty points.
Yeah. If I could, I would.
Pure and clean loyalty.
I did change my ringtone to the Expanse theme song.
Cool.
Because I have a good friend who comes over to game with us regularly who also was using the Law and Order Special Victims Unit theme song, and it was too confusing. So I thought, hey, there are better options. Speaking of the Expanse, the Kickstarter for the Expanse role-playing game is now live.
Yeah, it was like funded in an hour.
Yeah, last I checked, they were like almost $200,000.
Nice.
And something else I was going to say that I now don't remember.
Hmm. Well, while you're thinking, I will add, and for people who don't know, the Expanse stories came out of what was originally designed to be a board game world.
No, correct me. It was originally a Chinese MMO.
It was?
Yeah, it was originally an MMO that was being produced by a company from China, and that fell through and fell apart. And then the Daniel Frank.
It's Ty Frank.
Ty Frank and Daniel Abram. Okay, yeah, so yeah, Ty. I always get them backwards for some reason. So Ty Frank, who was the main developer of the main world, started running it as a role playing game over online forums.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, and then Daniel Abram got wind of it at a like a sci-fi author meetup there in Arizona, and they kind of got together after that.
Gotcha. Okay. That's I stand corrected.
Yeah, but now it's kind of come full circle, and it's back to being a game.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty good from what I've seen. They've got the quick start guide to just kind of give you an introduction to the game system and what have you that you can download for free, and it looks pretty cool.
Awesome.
Speaking of games that are hopefully pretty cool, go to thesenewworlds.com and subscribe to the mailing list if you haven't, or read the developer blog.
Yeah, do it. It's super fun. Yeah. Behind the scenes look at the creation.
Oh, it's been just as much fun to write about it as it has been to do it. So
cool. Yeah, it's super cool.
And I'm going to plug it from now to eternity so our listeners can just get used to it.
Right. That's cool. All right. Well, it's probably a good place to leave it.
Yeah, probably so.
Ooh, listen to that new tune. Can you hear that?
Ooh.
It's very... I feel myself moving.
I'm dancing.
All right, that's it for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again, not next week, but the week after, on Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.